Hello, Relay friends. It is February 12th, 2024, and today is a running community. I guess there's no other way to say it. It's just we're in mourning. Yesterday, we found out about a car accident that happened in just outside of Eldoret, Kenya, in which Kelvin Kiptum and his coach, Gervais Hakizimana, both passed away in the car accident. There was a third person in the car as well. As of right now, what we know is that she survived. Kelvin Kiptum, as you may know and probably do know, was the fastest marathoner of all time. And at age 24, his passing is an enormous tragedy, something that has rocked the running world. And while there is plenty of running news to talk about today, whether that's Black Canyon or the Milrose Games or talking about the trials, we're going to be dedicating this episode to Kelvin. This isn't about getting clicks or trying to get podcast stats by talking about a world famous individual. This is just to honor him, his memory, what we know of him as a runner and as a person, and just to give also context for the kind of athlete he was and provide some of that historical data for people who maybe know of him but don't know him very well. So that's the idea behind this podcast. And before we get into his background and his unique and just really fantastic rise up the running world, and talk about his memory and how we hope the running world remembers him, I think before we do that, we should probably kick over to Tommy, who actually had the privilege of meeting Kelvin just a few months ago, and one of the few members of the running media here in the U.S. who has had the privilege to do so. So, Tom, I guess you can just take it from here, just, I guess, in terms of maybe if you want to go initial reactions or just if you want to go back to when you met him a couple months ago and your initial reactions, just the privilege of being in his presence.
Yeah, no, thank you, man. I mean, it was, John just talked about the being able to meet him at TRE in late November of 2023. It was like one of those cool moments where it's like, you know that this dude just broke the world record by quite a bit, but watching him, like, kind of, I watched him in London race really well and run under 2:02, and I watched some of the Valencia race. That was his first marathon, like, and I just felt like meeting him was going to be different. I thought he was going to be, he just carries himself on the course like he'd be a much, like, louder personality and much more, like, confident isn't the word, but maybe almost even like borderline arrogant, like a younger version, like if Kipchoge was 24, like what he would probably say or do. But then meeting him was just like so much different than what I thought. The only like three words that I could muster like yesterday to say and to try to describe him was humble, confident, and kind. It was, it was strange, like how soft spoken, and not strange, but it was all like caught me off guard how soft spoken he was and how much it seemed like he was thinking about like how to talk to me and talk to Gary, who was there as well. And he was just super, he was just much different than I guess than I thought he was going to be. And luckily for me, after the interview, I had the opportunity to like message with him a little bit back and forth over the last few months. Just like I would post something and it didn't even have to be like a Nike thing or about him. He would like it or heart it or something, which was really weird for me. But then every now and then I'd say something to him and he would normally respond within like a day or so. No full conversations. I'm not saying we're friends or anything like any by any stretch of the imagination, but it just speaks to like how much of a normal person he was, and to me how much different he was in person than like how he ran, because he ran so bravely and so loud to me that I thought that was going to translate into like, no disrespect, but more of like a Mo Farah-esque like type of person where he's kind of just larger, or things larger than what he kind of did. And it was refreshing and surprising and all that. So not saying I knew him at all, but from what I did know, it was tough to hear. Like my friend called me and told me that he had gotten the news about it, and so I'm like, I'm going online and all that stuff. Just number one, he's only 24, so I mean, doesn't matter what age someone passes from anything sudden, but 24 just seems to be, it's just a super young age, and to die so, like, so in such a tragic way and super, like, just instant, with someone that obviously had so much ahead of him too. Like, I mean, he did amazing things within just, he ran three marathons within 12 months and, like, shook the world. Like, I mean, like, literally shook the running world, and it's almost guaranteed that he was going to do it again. So just to hear that news and all that, and having the chance to have, like, for him to, like, to be taken away from his family, not us, from his family and his life like that, it just sucks.
Yeah, I love the way you talked about his personality in terms of how you kind of assumed he may have been acting towards you. And again, not even in a negative way, right? Sometimes in order for someone to reach audacious heights, especially early in life, you kind of have to have that audacious, brash feeling about you in order to even reach those heights, to think that anything is possible at age 22. Not only is it possible, like, I'm going to do it right now. Like, I am right now, I am going to be the best in the world at such a young age, kind of requires a level of self-confidence and audacity that would be foreign to most people. But to hear the grace with which he carried himself towards you, not just in person, but also remotely, I guess speaks to exactly what you were saying.
Yeah. So yeah, it was just, it was an incredible opportunity to meet someone like that. And honestly, like, I just felt like, you know, like, I'll get to see him again. I mean, he just seemed so normal, so, you know, gracious and kind and all that. And he seemed like to enjoy our conversation. So I'm like, this is going to be great. Like, I'll be able to work with him sometime in the future, you know? And unfortunately, that just for me and for whoever else, it just won't be the case.
Yeah. And just speaking of him as an athlete, as a, you know, someone who grew up, he, you know, I think it's been, this has been told in several different articles that have been published around the world. You know, he grew up impoverished, right? Kind of helped the family farm kind of vibe. You know, for him, basically once he got into his teenage years, he kind of went more towards the polytech side of things. Like, he was going to be an electrician and kind of go more that route than the traditional high school route where he grew up just outside of Eldoret in Kenya. And ultimately, he just took to athletics so quickly. You know, it was 2013. So he was 14 years old. He hops into a half marathon and comes in 10th. The next year, he comes in 12th. 5 years later, at the age of 18, 19, he hops into a stacked half marathon. I mean, as I said, the women's winner was the world championship half marathoner that year, worldwide. So she was the women's winner. She runs 71. This is in Eldoret, so at 7,000 feet elevation, I mean, at altitude. And Kelvin, who's still a teenager at this point, jumps into this race and runs 62 flat and beats some of the best runners in Kenya at, again, he's a teenager, right? This is like reminiscent of what you see with some of Kipchoge's stuff when he's like 18 years old and running the 1500, some of the best like YouTube clips of all time, and some of those indoor meets and things like that. And from there, just, you know, 3 years later, this guy, like you said, Tommy, three marathons in a year, each one getting faster. And now with the world record at 2 hours and 35 seconds. It's a meteoric rise, one where he was self-coached, uncoached, almost all of it, right? His coach passed away in this car accident, but for a large tenure of his career, he was uncoached. And just it really is a remarkable story in terms of like the idea that, hey, persistence and love of the sport can take you to certain heights when you have also the talent that goes with it. Marcus, as our international correspondent here on Relay, when did you start to learn about Kelvin as someone who's, you know, an established marathoner yourself? And just from an international perspective, oftentimes here in the States, we get more focused on U.S. running as opposed to more international running. When did you start to learn about Kelvin, and when did his rise really kind of land with you in terms of, hey, this guy isn't merely a very talented runner, to this guy is the best in the world?
So I got the news quite late in the evening. I was working late and I got some messages through friends, through WhatsApp, and then through Instagram, and then through various training groups that I'm in, people messaging going, is this true? And obviously you don't want to believe it, so you check, you know, online and you see what's happening and you're just trying to filter through the noise. And yeah, and I think as things started to come through, it became, and it dawned on us that it was actually true. And yeah, as a fan of the sport, it's really hard to see. I know Tommy talked about just the three marathons, but when you think about it in context, someone that's come into the sport, you know, run his first three marathons and won, you know, what, like seven of the, you know, and he got the world record on the third attempt, you know, on the way to the Olympics. It was just incredible. And I think for me personally, I just didn't think about it in the sport sense, because we are just fans of the sport. We know it's not our family member. So, you know, respect to his family members who are grieving. Mm-hmm. I think he's got kids as well. You know, that's going to be tough for them. But outside of sport, it made me think of, you know, this man, you know, took three chances and it was just excellent. And what areas in my life am I maybe not doing the best in? Am I just being mediocre for the sake of it and just assuming that I'm going to get tomorrow again? How can I be not trying to be the whole 2% better thing, because, you know, you can't do that, you know, to yourself every day, but how can I make the best with the moments that I have, with the talents that I have? And that's what his, you know, his life kind of sort of signified to me. But yeah, on the personal level, more so than the sport level.
Deep, Marcus. Wow. That's, yeah. I mean, that's real though. And when you mourn the loss of someone like this, it's like, I don't want to like make it smaller than it is, but like, that's what he would want, I'm sure, right? Like if you passed away and someone said that about you, like you would want that, right? So yeah, gosh, it's so deep. When I was just going to say, when I saw that show up, what you guys were all messaging, it reminded me of when I saw that Kobe Bryant died. Mm-hmm. Like I looked at the picture and I was just like, wait, is that Kobe Bryant? Like, did that actually happen? And I know the greater world doesn't know Kelvin like we do, like they did Kobe, but still it was like that kind of figure, and then it just doesn't feel real, you know?
Yeah, I appreciate that, Marcus, because I mean, it is like, you know, it's like one of those things where he really took a swing, like a huge swing every single time. Just think that like it's like literally spoke with his actions, and it kind of speaks to like how he presented himself in person as well. It's like he wasn't a guy that's like maybe around his friends, I'm sure he's probably much different. He's 24 years old. I'm sure he's got some, you know, I'm sure he probably let his hair down a little bit, but you know, like in public with people that he wasn't like familiar with, like he definitely was more of like, I did what I did, you know, speak with my actions, you know.
Peter, I know you want to hop in here. I just want to say one thing to reference what Tommy and Marcus just said too. In terms of shooting his shot, he didn't, you know, we're in an era where breaking a record is almost commonplace, right? It seems like every weekend a record's getting broken somewhere. You know, we watch the Millrose games, records go down, like, you know, country records go down constantly, world records go down constantly, which is great. I think it's fantastic for all those individuals. Kelvin's running felt different than that, right? It was kind of like in swimming, you see like all these records go down, but like what Michael Phelps was doing was just different. And I think Kelvin kind of felt the same way, that he was amongst even that august group of elite, he was on a different level. And not only because of the records he broke and how he was able to do it, but the age at which he he did it.
Can I just jump onto that point there? This is like a football reference. So there's this age-old comparison between who's better, Messi or Ronaldo, Portuguese Ronaldo. And some people say, I like Messi better because the way he plays the game is like the way you want to play it. And you, when you watch Kelvin run, especially in Chicago, like it made you want to run and be like that guy. And for me, that's like a special feeling that, you know, is magic.
Absolutely. I think, I was thinking about, I mean, it's hard not to get wrapped up in how much his whole competitive existence was all about the future. I just wrote about this on Instagram, how like all of his performances were sort of couched in like, oh man, I can't wait to see what we're going to see. Even when he set the world record, it was like, mm-hmm. Oh, 159 is around the corner. And you're just like, I mean, none of us would have ever seen this coming, and it's a tragedy. And yet I'm always like grounded when it comes to the marathon where like there's just really no guarantee of what's coming next. Mm-hmm. And you really should run each of those races with like all of your life and all of your spirit and all of your gratitude for like, this could be the fastest I ever run in my entire life. And so this is just hard to get our heads around. And yet it's going to be almost like thought about, you start to think like years from now, you just be like, oh, there was that special year where this one man just went and approached the marathon with so much charisma and so much passion. It made me think about how I wrote an essay called Marathon Doesn't Owe You Anything. And all these people were like, oh, this is wonderful. Like it really captures the spirit. And one man wrote me and he said, you know, like I love it and all, but I just want to capture like the marathon's not like a boogeyman, like that you should, that's out to get you. Like it's just this wonderful distance that we use as a canvas to express ourselves and go after things. And like, I don't want you to, you know, build it up for something that's going to take you down in your mind as so daunting, because like it's hard and so it can be built up. And I think that's what Kelvin did, like to the best we've ever seen. Just like none of this, like I'm gonna dip my toe in and then I'm gonna chip away and then I'm gonna, he's just like, I'm gonna run 160 miles a week and I'm going to you know, make a name for myself and my family. And you know, like it's almost unfathomable how much he just went all in. And I'm sure there's other athletes who say like, we've been going all in too. Like yeah. We're trying our hardest. We're trying our hardest. But like, just like when those threads come together, it's just,
you know, I'm sorry to cut you off, but it's like, he seems like he was one of those people that, you know, like the, when it comes like basketball, you know, that there's like somebody somewhere that was much more talented than Michael Jordan for sure. But they just couldn't get like the in the gym thing, stay there and work. And then you have somebody like the Kelvin that comes. It's like, I'm going to do the work. How are you running 180 miles a week or whatever he was doing? He'd run a 10, like his doubles were like 10 and then like 15 or something. Like, so he was, some days he'd be running like 25 miles in a day. But like, anyway, like the point is like he literally took, he like took what he was going to do. Like he, no questions asked, I'm going to go do the work and then I'm going to take my shot. And he didn't wait for anybody to say, hey, come along with us. He didn't wait for like Eliud Kipchoge to say, you have the green light, young guy, go ahead. Like he legit showed up and then shocked everybody, you know? And he just was that type. It seemed like he was that type of guy. He was like, I'm going to go for it. And I don't care who likes it or doesn't. Like, he threw his watch off in Valencia. Like, because he was like, I don't want to see the pace. I'm just going. I'm going to go. And he went. And he left everybody, you know?
He was too fast for the watch. The watch couldn't calculate how fast he was
going. The watch is like, he had it set wrong. The watch is saying slow down. He's like, no, thanks. But yeah, man, I was super inspired by like each time he ran. And I think, I hope that, you know, what we take from like his, in the, from a running standpoint and then personally, like, I hope we just take that thing where it's like, you know what? Life is short. You know, what are we doing with the chances that we're getting, you know? And I'm glad that you put it like that, Mark.
And the way I see it is that, you know, sometimes you may be amazing at something, but it may not, the world may not see it. Maybe your family sees it. Maybe your friend sees it. It's just like, maybe that thing that I'm good at, maybe put some effort into that rather than sometimes trying to put too much effort into something where I'm maybe more mediocre in, as opposed to being like, I'm going to be the best dad. I'm going to be the best worker. I'm going to be the best friend. Like, you can't do that. It's too much.
Yeah, you also wonder if we can draw inspiration moving forward from what he's able to achieve in the ways in which he was able to do it. And I think, unfortunately, we can draw parallels from almost 50 years ago to the day when Steve Prefontaine died in a tragic car accident. You know, again, he died in March 1975. So again, almost 50 years ago to the day of Kelvin's passing. And what we remember from Pre wasn't aren't the times. I'm sure there are people, maybe one person on this call, who can recite his times to the second. Peter, I'm looking at you affectionately. But at the same time, it's more about how he made us feel and the spirit with which he did his passion and his love. And I think that we can hopefully, you know, look at Kelvin the same way. Again, his marathon time obviously is fantastic, but there will come a time where it won't be the world record anymore. Just like Steve Prefontaine's college records, you know, and things like that, you know, are no longer in place. But ultimately, that doesn't sully the way we can remember somebody, and even more than that, how they can inspire and motivate the next generation. And hopefully there can be things that come out in the future which can highlight Kelvin's career in a way that weren't able to happen over the course of the last 18 to 24 months, because again, he was like a rocket ship, right? We detailed the fact that as a teenager, he obviously was incredibly special as an athlete, and certainly probably more special in other areas of his life as well. But hopefully there's going to be the stuff that comes out, you know, after his passing that can help illuminate exactly who he was, and that can, you know, even lead people in the future, right? There's even runners today who are still inspired by Steve Prefontaine, and I hope that we can say the same thing 50 years from now about Kelvin and the ways in which he performed in sport.
It's just so hard. He wasn't on the scene that long. I think there was just so much excitement. I mean, when I think of what I know about him, I think of like my excitement for his run in Rotterdam. I think it's like things in our mind that haven't happened yet. Like, I can't believe he and Elliot aren't going to face off.
And he came up before, like he came up in between an Olympic cycle, you know? So yeah. He wasn't even like, you know, I think we're all looking at Paris, like, oh, what's going to happen at Paris with Kelvin? Like, this is going to be incredible. But just the short window of his professional career came between Olympic cycles, or came in the middle of an Olympic cycle, I should say. So we were unable to see that on the global stage, where so many of these sports get the kind of airtime and notoriety that while people like us follow year round, a more general audience, like Lindsay was talking about before, really dive into in more of the, you know, the summer or winter Olympics and things like that.
I hope that the broader audience will know who he is, though. Do you know what I mean? Like, when I shared about it, I was like, I want my friends who don't know anything about running to know who this guy is, you know? So, yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, I think, like, it's between, like, the Olympic cycle thing was, he was so unscripted that, like, I almost thought somehow Kenya would be like, oh yeah, we can't have him on the team, you know, like you know, like to just have him almost pop out of nowhere in like in the running world to then challenge Kipchoge, because in my mind there was no chance that if they both ran their best race ever that he wouldn't win that race, you know. He was just so out of left field, which is, it's like, it was so fun to see something like that happen, because like Kipchoge is the exact opposite. I mean, the running world has known about him since he was, you know, 18 years old, and he's like 72 right now, you know? So it's like, it's been a while. Like he's had that was a joke obviously, but I mean, we've watched his career mature. He's been amazing. He's the GOAT, you know? But it's just a stark like comparison to just all of a sudden this kid comes out of there with all this energy and bravery to just go for it every single time. And it was so fun.
I was talking to my dad today before we hopped on the podcast. He came over and I was trying to put what Kelvin has done in perspective. And my dad, you know, ran track in high school and things like that. And is well-versed in the sport, you know, to a degree, especially back in the day. I used the football comparison, you know, with the Super Bowl being last night. I'm like, if you look at Patrick Mahomes' career, it's ascendant. It's one of the best of all time. It doesn't even compare to Kelvin's professional career. It doesn't even compare. I was like, this is as if someone came out of college and won 3 straight MVPs and 3 straight Super Bowls in their first 3 years. Like that's what we're talking about. This is almost incomparable to other athletes. You really have to dive deep into, you know, the best in each sport to really get a grasp of like how he compares. Because we also have to think like this guy hadn't even reached his peak yet, which is crazy because he was already the best ever.
It's also just like weird thing about marathoning that it's totally insane how this crazy athletic ability is demonstrated out on these like urban streets with like kind of spotty coverage. I have a video that I recorded from my laptop last October because there was this one stretch in the final miles where like he's like 5K to go. We all have been there, like 5K to go in a marathon. He's totally solo. He's broken away from the field. And I was watching, it was a, you know, October morning here on the West Coast. And my buddy is just like, he's running too fast. Like he's going too fast. Like that's not all right. Like it's not all right. Like he's sprinting. It's not okay. Like his, my friend, you know, he's run like two marathons. He's like, it's just, what is going on? And you're like, yeah. So then I like screen grab it. I've shared it. It's gotten like, I don't know, tens of thousands of views on Instagram because it's like, that's how marathoning plays out. It's like this grainy image from the Chicago broadcast. You know, we get track athletes, we get to see them like, you know, we think of Bolt like pulling away and then like looking over at the crowd and you're like, okay, these iconic moments and these strides. And for marathoners, it's like these weird, there's some great video of like him turning in London around like, you know, a bollard. And then there's like Chicago, you're like, yeah, he's, I mean, I think the coming down the straightaway to the finish where he's like celebrating is cool, but he's kind of like running easy and he's clearly celebrating as opposed to like 3 miles to go. Like, what is going on? He's running too fast. And that's the type of thing that I think is like so inspiring as a runner. And you're just like hard to even grasp it.
And at that moment, like it seems like Chicago, right? You try to put this in perspective for people. Like Connor Mance is the best marathoner in the US, right? So at that race, Kelvin finishes. Connor Mance is 2 miles behind, right? It's like he's
that again. Is
he can go down as one of the best marathoners of his generation in the U.S. Connor Mance. He's 2 miles behind Kelvin at that moment. It is an insane comparison to try to put in perspective, like this guy's level compared to other people's level.
That's insane when you think about like how fast that is.
Yeah, I don't know what pace it. What is it like? Isn't it like 4:30 something?
Yeah.
For the record, like 4:30, like 7 or something like that. I don't know what the number is, but yeah, like just to about the, there's nothing in comparison to like his like rise or his year. 3 marathons in 1 year, for us normal folks, I guess that's fine. You know what I mean? But like for a professional that puts in that much work, that runs that hard during a marathon, normally you don't do 3 in a year. And if you do, like there's no way, like the fact that he's, that you, people like, maybe we're speculating that he wasn't at his peak, but he didn't have, like he didn't pick one race and go like, here's what I'm training for and I'm going to put all in on this one race. He was just racing. You know, it's like,
yeah,
Valencia, yeah. London, you know, like he just did it like a normal, like I would do, like, okay, fall, spring, fall, let's do it, you know. It's like, you know, not like, okay, I'm all in, Berlin's my goal race, let's do it, you know. Like he didn't even have like the pro like cool down thing.
Yeah, that's what reminded me of like when I saw that video you posted, Peter. Like that's when you're, as a fan, that's how you want to run, to honest, like that's how we'd love to run in our heads, like the last 5k to go, but we're maybe in a different place. We're not at that kind of that level.
He's an outlier of outliers of outliers. And also like just truly his ability to run totally unconstrained by expectation or precedent or, I mean, yeah, I think about, I keep coming back for some reason to this moment that Kara talked about when she ran Boston and she like surged at some point. She wrote about it in her book. And then a cameraman like on a vehicle was like, careful, Kara, you're running like 5 minute pace. And she's like, oh, and she gets startled and she settles back in. And then she ends up not winning the Boston Marathon. And she has cited that as like very unusual to get like break free from total expectation and just like run totally free. And then it's easy for your mind and body to like snap back in and be like, oh, like what would be reasonable? So like, it's very easy to be like, well, no one's ever broken an hour for the second half. Like, you're never really going to slow down. And he's like, I am not burdened by any of those expectations.
I was reading one of the articles about one of his early races when he's like a, you know, 18 or 19 year old. And this was from an international newspaper. And they actually even used, like, in the sub headline was like, you know, Kelvin Kiptum runs disrespectfully compared to his, like, more august, like, running group. Like, I guess, like, it was like world champions. And he just, like, he just went right at him. Again, not in a brash, not in, like, some sort of cocky way, again, which I would have been fine with anyway. Not like, hey, I'm going to rub it in your face and I'm going to show you how great I am kind of vibe. It was like, I'm gone. See you guys. Right. Like, and I just loved, again, I'm not throwing shade at the author. It was obviously a tongue-in-cheek statement. He goes on to explain, you know, like how audacious the effort was, which I think is a word that I keep coming back to again and again when describing Kelvin. But it was just so funny to see it, like, just how he was viewed. It was like, oh my God, this is, like, so different. This is not a 1%, 2% increase. This is a paradigm-shifting athlete. And it came through.
Yeah, and then even just, like, the whole fact that Rotterdam was his next race was against the code. You know, like, everyone's like, why? What do you mean? Why aren't you running, you know, this race or that race? Why wouldn't you be running London? Why wouldn't you? Like, it was like, why would he pick Rotterdam? Because he's like, cause that's what he wanted to do. You know, like, Rotterdam was like an odd pick for some reason, like, for him to choose that as his next race.
All right, there's obviously way more that we can say about Kelvin, and certainly way more that will be said over the coming hours, days, months, and years. But again, this podcast was just to, you know, talk about him, his greatness, the memory of him, and hopefully what we'll see in the future in regards to how he'll be remembered by the running community in the larger international community as well. I have high hopes that in the coming months, especially heading into Paris, that we're going to see some really good coverage about Kelvin's life, his childhood, and all of that stuff, that oftentimes we see after someone retires, and we can see these really great, like, 30 for 30 type documentaries about their life. And again, this, none of this stuff is highly produced and takes a while to come out, but hopefully sooner rather than later, we can get some of that, because I think we all are just yearning for more Kelvin Kiptum in our lives. And unfortunately, with his passing yesterday, we're not going to have that. So again, we're mourning him. You know, our hearts go out to his family, his friends in the global running community. Everybody, thank you so much for listening to Relay, and happy running.